Introduction to stress. Stress is a phenomenon that touches everyone's life, yet its complexity often makes it challenging to fully understand. When we talk about stress in scientific terms, we're actually referring to three distinct but interconnected concepts: the stimulus, called a stressor, the response, our body's reaction, and the transaction, the ongoing interaction between a person and their environment. Understanding these different aspects helps us grasp why stress can feel so different from person to person and situation to situation. Consider, for example, public speaking. The upcoming presentation is the stressor, the external stimulus that creates the potential for stress. Your racing heart, sweaty palms, and worried thoughts represent the stress response, how your body and mind react to the situation. The entire process of preparing for the talk, interpreting its importance, and managing your reactions represents the transaction, the dynamic interplay between you and the challenging situation. What makes stress particularly fascinating is its highly individual nature. Two people facing the exact same situation might have completely different experiences. One person might find public speaking energizing and exciting, while another finds it terrifying and overwhelming. This variation isn't just about personal preference. It's rooted in our biological predispositions, past experiences, current resources, and cognitive interpretations of events. The multidimensional nature of stress response. When we say that stress responses are multidimensional, we're describing an intricate symphony of changes that occur throughout the body. These changes span multiple systems, from your nervous system to your immune system, and work together in complex ways that scientists are still working to fully understand. The body typically responds to stress in one of two primary patterns. Some people are sympathetic responders, showing what we might consider the classic stress response. Their heart rate increases, blood pressure rises, they might start sweating, and their heart rate variability, the natural variation in time between heartbeats, decreases. During this response, blood flow typically decreases to the digestive system as the body prioritizes sending blood to the muscles and brain. Others are parasympathetic responders, showing a very different pattern. These individuals might experience increased digestive activity, sometimes leading to stomach upset, constriction in their airways, and might even feel faint due to a drop in blood pressure. This response pattern is equally valid but often less recognized than the sympathetic response. Many people actually show elements of both responses, creating their own unique stress signature, what scientists call response stereotypy. Think of these patterns like different emergency response systems. Some people's bodies respond to stress by preparing for action, the sympathetic response, while others' bodies respond by conserving energy and resources, the parasympathetic response. The biopsychosocial model. The biopsychosocial model represents a revolutionary shift in how we understand health and illness, including stress. Developed by George Engel in the 1970s, this model replaced the older biomedical model that viewed illness primarily as a result of biological abnormalities. Instead, the biopsychosocial model proposes that health and illness result from the complex interplay of biological, psychological, and social factors working together. The biological dimension encompasses everything physical about us: our genes, hormones, physical health status, and bodily systems. Some people might have a genetic predisposition to respond more intensely to stress, while certain medical conditions might make them more vulnerable to stress effects. Even our basic physical state, such as whether we're well-rested or fatigued, can influence how we handle stress. The psychological dimension includes our thoughts, emotions, beliefs, and behaviors. How we interpret stressful situations, our coping strategies, and our overall mental health all play crucial roles in our stress response. For instance, someone who views a challenging situation as an opportunity for growth might experience less negative stress than someone who sees it as a threat to their well-being. The social dimension involves our relationships, support systems, cultural context, and environmental factors. This includes everything from our family relationships to our work environment to our socioeconomic status. The social aspect helps explain why having strong support networks can buffer against stress and why social isolation often increases stress vulnerability. The allostatic load model. Building on our understanding of how stress affects the body over time, Bruce McEwen and Teresa Seaman developed the allostatic load model. The term allostasis means achieving stability through change, a concept that helps us understand how our bodies adapt to stress while trying to maintain balance. Think of your body like a sophisticated suspension bridge. Just as a bridge must constantly adjust to varying loads of traffic, changing weather conditions, and environmental stresses while maintaining its structural integrity, your body must maintain stability while adapting to various challenges. However, just as constant heavy traffic and weather exposure can eventually wear down a bridge's structure, repeated stress responses can gradually wear down your body's systems. The cumulative wear and tear on your body's systems due to repeated stress cycles is called allostatic load. Allostatic load is the price we pay for adapting to stressors. This isn't just about major stressful events. It includes the daily challenges of modern life, from work deadlines to relationship tensions to environmental pollutants. Over time, high allostatic load can lead to various health problems, including the cardiovascular system may show increased blood pressure and reduced heart rate variability. The immune system might become suppressed, leading to increased inflammation throughout the body. Brain function can be affected, resulting in changes to memory and mood regulation. Even metabolism can be impacted, often leading to increased abdominal fat storage and insulin resistance. Understanding allostatic load helps explain why chronic stress can be more damaging than acute stress. It's not just about the intensity of the stress, but about the cumulative burden over time. This model has revolutionized our understanding of how stress affects health and why some people seem more resilient to stress than others. System-wide effects of stress. Recent scientific discoveries have revealed that stress affects our bodies in ways far more complex than previously understood. One of the most fascinating findings involves the relationship between stress and our microbiome, the trillions of microorganisms living in our digestive system. These microscopic inhabitants play a crucial role in our health, and their composition can be significantly altered by stress. When we experience stress, the balance of bacteria in our gut changes, which can trigger a cascade of effects throughout our body. This explains why you might experience digestive issues during stressful periods, or why chronic stress might make you more susceptible to various illnesses. The connection between our gut and brain, often called the gut-brain axis, demonstrates how deeply stress can influence our overall health. At the cellular level, stress can actually accelerate the aging process through its effects on telomeres, the protective caps on our DNA chromosomes. Imagine telomeres as the plastic tips on shoelaces that prevent fraying. Each time a cell divides, these telomeres become slightly shorter. Chronic stress accelerates this shortening process, essentially speeding up cellular aging. This discovery helps explain why people under chronic stress often experience health problems typically associated with aging. Stress also profoundly impacts our brain structure and function. The three key brain regions most affected are the hippocampus, involved in memory formation, the amygdala, our emotional processing center, and the prefrontal cortex, responsible for complex thinking and emotional regulation. Under chronic stress, the hippocampus can actually shrink, affecting our ability to form and recall memories. Meanwhile, the amygdala becomes more reactive, making us more sensitive to potential threats, and the prefrontal cortex shows reduced ability to regulate our emotional responses. Stressful life events. Life events that cause stress can be categorized into three distinct types, each affecting us in different ways. Understanding these categories helps us recognize and respond more effectively to different sources of stress in our lives. Cataclysmic events are sudden, powerful occurrences that affect many people simultaneously. These might include natural disasters, terrorist attacks, or pandemics like COVID-19. What makes these events particularly impactful is their shared nature. Entire communities experience them together. The psychological impact of such events often depends on several factors: how close we are to the event, the degree of personal loss or threat we experience, and whether the event was natural or human-caused. Research shows that human-caused disasters typically have a greater psychological impact because they challenge our basic sense of security and trust in others. Major life changes represent significant personal transitions that require substantial adjustment. Unlike cataclysmic events, These changes might affect only an individual or family, but their impact can be just as profound. What makes these events particularly interesting is that even positive changes, like getting married or starting a dream job, can create significant stress because they require adaptation to new circumstances. The Holmes and Rahi Social Readjustment Rating Scale helps us understand how these various life changes contribute to our overall stress burden, though individual responses to these changes can vary greatly. Daily hassles might seem minor in comparison, but their cumulative effect can significantly impact our health and well-being. These small, chronic irritants, like traffic jams, noisy neighbors, or computer problems, can create a constant low-level stress that, over time, may be more damaging than major life events. Think of it like water dripping on a stone. While each drop seems insignificant, the continuous impact eventually leaves its mark. Psychological factors and stress. The psychological aspects of stress profoundly influence how we experience and respond to life's challenges. One of the most significant psychological responses to extreme stress is post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, which develops when the impact of a traumatic event persists long after the immediate danger has passed. Understanding PTSD helps us grasp how deeply stress can affect our psychological functioning. PTSD demonstrates how stress can fundamentally alter our brain's processing of information and our responses to the environment. When someone develops PTSD, they experience intrusive symptoms such as unwanted memories or nightmares that make them feel as if they're reliving the traumatic event. These aren't simply memories. They represent changes in how the brain processes and stores information about threatening experiences. The brain's fear center, the amygdala, becomes hyperactive, while areas involved in calming fear responses may become less effective. Beyond PTSD, our emotional states play a crucial role in how we experience stress. Traditionally, emotions like anxiety and depression were labeled as negative emotions, but modern psychological approaches, particularly mindfulness-based approaches, encourage us to view these as challenging emotions rather than negative ones. This shift in perspective acknowledges that all emotions serve a purpose and shouldn't be judged as good or bad. To understand how emotions relate to stress, imagine a circle with two crossing lines, one running from pleasant to unpleasant emotions, and another from high to low arousal. This is Barrett and Russell's circumplex model of emotion, and it helps us understand how different emotional states relate to each other. For instance, stress and excitement share high arousal but differ in pleasantness, explaining why some people can channel stress into productive excitement while others experience it as anxiety. Acute and chronic stress responses. Our bodies respond to stress in two fundamentally different ways depending on the duration of the stressor. Understanding these different responses helps explain why some stress can be beneficial while other types can be harmful. Acute stress involves vagal withdrawal, which is reduced parasympathetic activity, an HRV, and stress hormone release. The response to typical experimental stressors, such as serial sevens and the Stroop task, is roughly 50% vagal withdrawal and 50% sympathetic activation. A sympathetic response releases epinephrine and norepinephrine from the adrenal glands, triggering a cascade of changes throughout your body. Your heart rate and blood pressure increase, blood flow shifts away from your digestive system toward your muscles, and your awareness heightens in response to more intense stressors. Although these changes evolve to help us survive immediate physical threats, the same response also occurs during psychological stressors, such as public speaking. Chronic stress, in contrast, involves a different system called the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal, HPA, axis. Think of acute stress like sprinting, intense but brief, while chronic stress is more like running a marathon without adequate rest. When stress persists over time, your body releases different hormones, primarily cortisol, which has wide-ranging effects throughout your body. While cortisol is crucial for helping us cope with long-term challenges, persistently elevated levels can lead to various health problems. Your immune function may become suppressed, blood sugar levels can rise, and you might experience changes in memory, sleep patterns, and mood. The distinction between acute and chronic stress helps explain an interesting paradox: why some stress can enhance performance while chronic stress typically impairs it. Short-term stress can sharpen our focus and improve our performance. Think of an athlete performing better during competition. However, when stress becomes chronic, the same systems that initially helped us cope begin to wear down our body's resources, leading to exhaustion and potential health problems. Cognitive appraisal and coping. The way we think about and interpret stressful situations often has a greater impact on our stress response than the situation itself. Richard Lazarus and Susan Folkman developed the transactional model of stress to help us understand this crucial aspect of the stress response. Their research showed that our thoughts about a situation, rather than the situation itself, determine how stressful we find it. When we encounter a potentially stressful situation, we go through two main stages of cognitive appraisal. The first stage, called primary appraisal, involves our initial evaluation of what the situation means for our well-being. During this stage, we might assess a situation as harmful, damage that has already occurred, threatening, potential future damage, or challenging, an opportunity for growth. For example, if we receive criticism at work, we might see it as harm to our professional reputation, a threat to our job security, or a challenge that can help us improve our performance. Each of these interpretations will lead to different emotional and physiological responses. Secondary appraisal follows, where we evaluate our resources and ability to cope with the situation. During this stage, we take stock of our available tools and support systems. We might ask ourselves questions like, have we successfully handled similar situations before? Do we have the knowledge and skills needed to address this problem? Can we count on support from others? The answers to these questions shape how stressful we find the situation. The interaction between these two types of appraisal determines our overall stress response. When we perceive high threat and feel we have inadequate resources to cope, we experience intense stress. Conversely, when we see adequate resources to meet a challenge, we might experience the situation as stimulating rather than stressful, even if it's objectively difficult. Personality dimensions. Our personality traits play a crucial role in how we experience and handle stress, acting like filters through which we process all stressful experiences. One particularly important trait is mastery, our belief that we can control or influence important outcomes in our lives. People with a strong sense of mastery tend to approach challenges with confidence, believing they can influence the outcome. This belief often becomes self-fulfilling, as they're more likely to persist in their efforts and try different solutions when facing obstacles. The relationship between optimism, pessimism, and stress reveals fascinating patterns in how our outlook affects our health. Optimists tend to maintain better health during stressful periods, not just because they think positive, but because their outlook leads to more effective coping strategies. They're more likely to seek information, take direct action to solve problems, and maintain healthy behaviors even during stressful times. Their belief that good outcomes are possible motivates them to take constructive action rather than giving up. Pessimists, by contrast, often experience more severe effects from stress. Their tendency to anticipate negative outcomes can become a self-fulfilling prophecy, leading them to give up more easily or avoid taking action that might improve their situation. Research shows that pessimism isn't simply the absence of optimism. It acts as an independent risk factor for health problems, particularly cardiovascular disease. Resources that buffer stress. Understanding what protects us against stress is just as important as understanding stress itself. Research has identified several powerful resources that can significantly reduce stress's negative impacts on our health and well-being. These protective factors work together to create a resilience network that helps us navigate life's challenges more effectively. Social support emerges as perhaps the most powerful buffer against stress, though its mechanisms are more complex than simply having people around us. Research distinguishes between two types of social support, each playing a unique role in stress protection. The first type, received support, refers to the actual assistance people provide us. This might include practical help during a move, emotional comfort during a difficult time, or advice when we face challenging decisions. The second type, perceived support, involves our belief that help is available if we need it. Fascinating research shows that this perception of available support can be even more protective than the support we actually receive. The ways social support protects us against stress reveal the intricate connections between our social relationships and physical health. At a biological level, positive social interactions trigger the release of oxytocin, often referred to as the bonding hormone, which can help reduce stress hormone levels and lower blood pressure. When we feel supported, our immune system functions more effectively, and our cardiovascular system responds more positively to stress. The psychological benefits are equally important. Knowing we have support helps us feel more secure and capable of handling challenges, often leading us to appraise potentially stressful situations as less threatening. Regular aerobic exercise provides another powerful buffer against stress, working through multiple pathways to enhance our resilience. When we exercise regularly, our bodies undergo remarkable adaptations that improve our ability to handle stress. These changes go far beyond simply burning off tension. Our bodies become more efficient at processing stress hormones. Our brains produce more protective proteins that help repair and protect neurons, and our heart rate variability improves, indicating greater flexibility in our stress response system. What makes exercise particularly interesting as a stress buffer is that moderate activity often provides better protection than intense training. Research consistently shows that regular moderate exercise, like a 30-minute brisk walk most days of the week, can significantly improve our stress resilience. This accessibility makes exercise one of our most practical tools for stress management. Engaging in prosocial behavior, actions that benefit others, represents one of the most intriguing paradoxes in stress research. While it might seem counterintuitive that helping others could protect us from our stress, studies consistently show powerful protective effects. When we help others, several beneficial processes occur simultaneously. Our focus shifts away from our problems, we gain a sense of agency and effectiveness, and we strengthen our social connections. The act of helping triggers the release of neurotransmitters that promote well-being and reduce stress, creating a positive cycle that enhances overall resilience. Providing tangible assistance to friends or family members in the previous year mitigated the effects of stress on mortality over the subsequent 5 years. In contrast, stress predicted mortality for participants who did not help others. Religious and spiritual practices offer an additional layer of protection against stress, operating through several interconnected pathways. These practices often provide a framework for understanding difficult experiences, helping people place their stressors in a broader context that makes them more manageable. The contemplative aspects of religious and spiritual practice, such as meditation or prayer, can help regulate emotions and reduce stress responses. Additionally, religious and spiritual communities often provide strong social support networks and opportunities for helping others, combining multiple stress buffering mechanisms. What makes these various protective resources particularly powerful is their tendency to work synergistically, each enhancing the effects of the others. For example, joining an exercise group combines the benefits of physical activity with social support. Volunteering through a religious organization combines the benefits of pro-social behavior with spiritual practice and social connection. Understanding these interconnections helps explain why developing multiple stress buffers can significantly enhance our overall resilience to life's challenges. By consciously cultivating these various protective resources, we can create a robust support system that helps us navigate stressful experiences more effectively while maintaining our physical and mental well-being. This multifaceted approach to stress management reflects our current understanding that stress resilience isn't about avoiding stress entirely, but about building our capacity to handle life's inevitable challenges while maintaining our health and well-being.